You're welcome back to the News at One. The final report into the case of the young woman known as Grace is due to be published this afternoon, 8 years after it began. The inquiry, chaired by Senior Counsel Marjorie Farrelly, centred on a foster home in the southeast. Grace, a vulnerable woman with an intellectual disability, spent almost 20 years there despite a series of allegations of sexual and physical abuse. The health authorities did, however, decide that the home was risky enough to remove other children. In 2017, the High Court awarded Grace a settlement worth more than €6 million. The court's then president described her treatment as a scandal. Our reporter Fiacra O'Kiona, who has followed this story over the years, has been bringing me through the background, and I started by asking him about what had happened in the mid-1990s when concerns about Grace were first raised.
Well, that is exactly the question that the Commission has been tasked with trying to find out. Grace, as you've said, is a woman with severe physical and intellectual disabilities who was placed at a foster home in the southeast in 1989. This was a home where 46 other children were also placed at various times. By 1995, concerns were raised Grace had suffered abuse in her foster home. As a result, the Southeastern Health Board, that's the then Southeastern Health Board, decided not to place any more people in the home. But a decision to remove Grace, specifically Grace, was overturned in 1996 for still unknown reasons. As a result, Grace stayed at the home until a whistleblower's complaint in 2009 relating to allegations Grace had been physically and sexually abused.
As you say, Fiacra, it was 2009 when this whistleblower came forward. What did she say and what happened at that time?
Well, in 2009, a whistleblower, as you said, came forward to raise concerns over Grace's treatment. This was due to certain injuries Grace had suffered and her behaviour in certain circumstances. The whistleblower became aware during this phase that Grace was due to be removed from the home in the mid-1990s, but that decision had been overturned. And the whistleblower raised these concerns again with officials asking what happened. These new concerns led to a number of internal HSC reports, including the Conor Dignam report, into the case.
When then did all of this come into the public domain?
Well, it became public knowledge in two ways, all between 2014 and 2015. That's important to remember. It's more than a decade ago now. Firstly, a number of journalists and the then Dáil Public Accounts Committee, including its chair, Fianna Fáil TD John McGuinness, and its vice chair, former Fine Gael TD John Deasy, they became aware of the case during this period and held a number of high-profile public meetings demanding answers on what happened. Secondly, it also became apparent that a report, that's the Conor Dignam report, which has been mentioned, into the case had not been published at that time. It had faced a number of delays and was only published in 2016 when that report concluded, "These are allegations of the utmost serious nature."
So when then did work begin on the report published today and what does it examine?
Well, due to all of this mounting pressure, on February 2nd, 2016, the then Taoiseach and Fine Gael leader, Enda Kenny, confirmed that he would establish a commission of investigation into the Grace case if he was re-elected. This announcement, of course, delayed the expected calling of the 2016 general election by 24 hours. That commission is chaired by its sole member, Senior Counsel Marjorie Farrelly, and it was established in spring 2017. And at that point, it was asked to examine two specific issues. Firstly, the Grace case, and then secondly, separate allegations surrounding 46 other foster placements at the same home over the same period. The Grace case phase of this commission, which is concluding today, specifically focuses on concerns over how Grace was placed at the home between 1989 and 2009 and was not removed until 2009. The second phase is due to examine the circumstances around 46 other placements at the home. Now, the commission of investigation, it began its work in March 2017 and was due to publish its final report the following year in May 2018. But due to the scale of the investigation and other matters, it has faced repeated extension delays and has sought repeated extension requests with deadlines for May 2019, May 2020, July 2020, October 2021, October 2022, March last year and September last year, all passing without the conclusion to phase one, that's the grace phase of the investigation. It should be said that two interim reports have been published in that time as well, which concluded that the rationale for keeping Grace at home was weak and confused.
The Gardaí have also been involved in this case. What can you tell us about their investigation?
Well, yes, the Gardaí have been involved in this case, and in January 2022, the Director of Public Prosecutions decided against prosecuting individuals in relation to the case. It was reported at the time that Gardaí had recommended prosecutions for endangerment and negligence in a file sent to the DPP. It should also be noted that in 2017, the High Court awarded Grace a settlement of more than €6 million, and to date the commission has cost in excess of €10 million.
And that was Fiacra O'Kiona with the background to today's report, which is due to be published at 2 o'clock. Now, when the inquiry was established, the then Taoiseach Enda Kenny described the treatment of Grace as a disgrace to us as a country. Fergus Finlay is the former CEO of Barnardo's, and he has written extensively about this case in his column in the Irish Examiner. Fergus, you described the treatment of Grace as one of the most disturbing stories you had ever heard. Why is that?
Because she was a helpless, defenceless, voiceless young woman who had nobody to represent her, nobody to protect her, nobody to speak on her behalf. And she was incredibly badly let down by the state of which she is, despite her lack of voice, a citizen. In fact, it's an awful thing to say that I claim credit for. She's only called Grace because I wrote a column. I was so offended by some of the early internal reports that I came across, which referred to her as SU1.
Service User 1.
That was the only name she was given. And when you think of what she endured and what she went through, it seemed to me that the name Grace would be a more appropriate one. And I suggested that. I was actually interviewed, I think, on this programme, at the same time as Tony O'Brien, the then head of the HSE, was being interviewed. And he said on that programme that Grace was a much better name. So I think I should probably give him the credit for Grace, but no more credit than that, because this has gone on for years and years. And it is simple. It is a simple question that we have been asked to get to the bottom of. A terrible decision was made to leave Grace in an inappropriate and unacceptable place.
And that was when the concerns were first raised back in the mid-1990s. So we're talking 30 years ago.
And she stayed, despite those concerns, despite case reviews, despite discussion, she stayed in that place for another 20 years. And the worst, so the simple question is, who made that decision and why? That's the simple thing we kind of need to know. But the worst feature of the case in some ways is that the other children, I don't know whether this report is going to begin to deal with them.
Yeah, we understand from Fiacra, who has been delving into the background here, that actually it won't, and that today's report, which could be several hundred, could be more than 1,000 pages long, that it will look solely at the case of Grace.
In which case, we're looking at another 10 years before the other cases are looked at. Now, I know a lot about this case. I've met some of the families. I've never met Grace's family, I have to say, but I met some of the other families. I came to the conclusion, well, first of all, and I've written this publicly, the terms of reference for this thing were so appallingly bad, so awfully badly written. That's part of what the problem is. The process is appalling. It's not meant to be adversarial, but if you talk to any of the families who've appeared in front of the tribunal, they've been traumatised by their experience, broken by their experience. And they're noble, brave, gutsy people who only wanted to try to protect their children. And they didn't deserve that. There are two whistleblowers involved in this situation, both of whom I think have left the country and whose lives have been destroyed by the experience and so on. However, I think it is reasonable to conclude that most of the rest of the children were in this placement for very, very short periods. Mm-hmm. Three or four were there for a long time, and they too, I know for a fact, suffered abuse too, grievous abuse. And the thought that they're not even going to be mentioned today, and we'll have to wait more years.
Yeah, that, as I say, is our understanding at the moment. Now, maybe there could be references to them. We just don't know.
The terms of reference would suggest that they won't be mentioned today, although the work that has been done in the background would enable that to be addressed today, if they chose to do it. So, I mean, I think, can we learn lessons? Do we ever learn lessons in this country? If there is a lesson, it is we're really, really bad in Ireland at telling the truth. We're really bad at finding out the truth. We're really bad at forcing public servants who make mistakes to own up to those mistakes. I'm not suggesting that any public servant in this case acted out of malice or was part of a paedophile ring or some of the other things. I don't think any of that happened. Mm-hmm.
But we do know that something went wrong, because otherwise she would have been removed from that home when the first allegations were made.
At the very least, she should have been removed when she reached the age of 18. And she certainly should have been removed when there was any suggestion, any possible suggestion of abuse. And it was far more than suggestions. So it's wholesale evidence.
Grace would now be in her 40s. Do we know anything about what has happened to her since, apart from the fact that there was that High Court settlement a number of years ago?
I probably know more than I'm allowed to say, but I will say, and I think it's important to say, that to the best of my knowledge, Grace is in a good place. She's in a residential setting with good people around her, and she's being well cared for. Some of the other youngsters who are now women who are now surrounded by their families are also in recovery. Thanks not to the state, thanks not to the health system, thanks to the diligence and care and love of brave families.
Fergus Finlay, thank you very much indeed for being with us this afternoon.